Well, guys, we are starting a new series this morning called Joy. And, of course, we're going into, like I said earlier, we're going into the holiday season. And this is a series that several months ago the Lord began speaking to me about, and I began taking notes and writing things down, and I believe it's going to bless you. But this morning, we're in the first sermon of that, and we're going to talk about what true joy is and what is false joy and what the difference is. And, you know, we live in a world right now that has unlimited access to ways to artificially stimulate joy in our lives. And let's talk about what joy is, first of all, because when I say joy, you know, this is the time of year where you're going to see and hear that phrase a lot. You're going to hear joy, you know, joy to the world. We're going to sing that, and it's so associated with the Christmas season. So you're going to hear that phrase a lot, think about that phrase a lot. And one of the things that I've thought about just observing humanity is that really joy is what everybody is after. You're after it, but we go after it in different ways. You know, if you look at the reason why you want money, the reason why we want success, the reason why we want a good marriage and a good family, all of these things bring us joy in one form or another. And there's so many ways to artificially get that joy. Let's say that nothing's going right in your life. Let's say that everything's broken. Let's say your marriage is broken. Your relationship with God is broken. And you're not doing well in your career. And you look at your life and it's a failure. There's so many ways to artificially inject joy into your life. And on the extreme end of that, we think about something like drug or alcohol abuse, right? Because we turn to those things, or people will turn to those things because these other things, there's no joy in their life, and so they have to turn to these other things to artificially insert joy into their life. But that's just the extreme of it. But more on a day-to-day, you know, every day just walking through this life, if you look around, there is an unlimited amount of ways to get false joy into your life. Things like social media, you know, apps, video games, food, sweets, online shopping, binge watching, you know, all of these things that are sort of phenomenons for our day, for modern day. We see how people go after these things. And here's the thing that what we really need to understand is what these things are doing, whether you talk about the extreme end of drugs and alcohol, or you talk about social media and gaming and all of these things, what they're really doing is they are triggering a certain part of our brain that releases these feel-good chemicals like dopamine. Everybody's heard about dopamine. You know what, you know, endorphins and those kinds of things. Dopamine is released when you do these normal things. Now, dopamine is released in our mind, in our brain, and in our body through just normal day-to-day living. But all the things I just mentioned, you know, they release it in an exponential way. So social media, video games, desserts, online shopping, binge watching, those things that I mentioned, they release it at about three to four times the normal rate of just baseline living life. And then there are certain drugs, for example, that would release it at 10 times. So that's where you get that heavy addiction part of it. But all of it, no matter what it is, it's all in search of the same thing, right? We are searching a certain feel-good experience that we could call joy, we could call happiness. But if you've noticed with all of these things, it's false joy, because what ends up happening is there is an increase or a spike in joy, but then there's also this huge letdown on the other side. And the reason for that is because God never intended your source of joy to be those things. You see, if you have a true source of joy in your life, then those things are just small additives. They're there. They have a place. You know, all of us shop. All of us will watch TV from time to time. All of us will be on the internet. That's all fine. That's all normal. But if you're looking to that and even if you're not expecting or you're not looking for that to be the source of joy in your life, because of how easily accessible it is, and because of how convenient it is, and because there's typically zero work attached to it, it can become a source of joy in your life that you're turning to more and more and more and more. We see this as a big problem with teenagers. We know this is happening. I would say if you look around the world today, there's never been a time in history where we had so much instant pleasure just at our fingertips and just a button press away than we do now. And any of those things that I'm mentioning, I mean, you think years and decades, you know, and centuries before, just even acquiring food was a massive task, right? Just getting food, whether that was going out and gathering it, whether it was killing it yourself, it was a massive task. Certainly cooking it. I mean, I look back and I go, I don't know how they had time for anything else. Like if you have to grow it, you gotta cultivate it, you gotta gather it, you gotta prepare it. It's a massive undertaking. Now, just at the, you know, you could just literally press a button and have it hand delivered to your house. You didn't grow it, you didn't catch it, you didn't even cook it, you didn't even go get it. You didn't have to get out of your slippers, and it just delivered right to your house. And there's so many things like that. Amazon, my gosh, you just press a button, the whole world, anything you want, internationally, anything you can think of, you just press it, it delivered within 2 days to your house. I love it. It's great. But there's a problem side to it as well, right? All of these things, they're just so easy access. And so if you're not careful, you can end up like that little white rat in all the experiments that they use for everything. Like that's just pressing the button again and again and again for whether it's sugar or whether it's cocaine, and that little rat just keeps coming back, just pressing the dial until its eyes are about to pop. And that rat, you ever seen? Because that's all we use in these little experiments, these little white mice for everything. You know, they test everything out on these little white mice. And, you know, you get these experiments where they're just going after sugar. Before you know that rat, like 300 pounds, you know, in his version. If we're not careful, we can end up like that. And that's just the world that we live in right now. And anybody who's not paying attention, anybody who's not intentional, is going to end up getting hooked and caught up in this very dysfunctional world system that we have. And Christians are susceptible to this as well. If they weren't, we wouldn't be talking about this. Now, there are so many sources of joy that God has set up in our life that are healthy sources of joy, right? But they usually all require work. They're not usually instant gratification. They usually have to be done over long periods of time consistently, right? And so all these other things that are instant, just a button press away, are so much easier. But the problem is that actually they are hurting us. They are not helping us. We've never lived in a society that has more access to entertainment, pleasure, and false joy than we do right now. And I can see, everybody can see, that it's only going to get worse, right? It's only going to get easier and easier to access these things. This is one of the problems with cultural development, because almost every invention makes our life easier, right? If you think of all the inventions of mankind, they're almost all done with this one idea in mind, which is, how can I make this task or this job easier or more convenient? Well, you do that long enough on a wide enough scale, we end up having all this free time on our hands. And what do you do with that free time? Well, let's just look at the statistics of what we do. Because in a 2024 report by the American Psychological Association, they found, this is just one example, they found that teenagers spend an average of 4.8 hours daily on social media. 4.8 hours daily. This is teenagers. 4.8, so 5 hours a day on social media. No one should have time for that. No one should have 5 hours in their day that the only thing they have to do is stare at a screen and scroll through social media. And if we are doing that, how many of you could safely say that is not healthy? All right, that is not good for us. But that's just social media. That doesn't include time on TV. That doesn't include time on video games. That doesn't include screen time overall. When they look at screen time overall, it's over 8 hours a day. Now, when I talk to people just in life, I've never heard anyone admit this. I've never talked to a single person that's like, yeah, I spend about 8 hours a day staring at a screen, whether that's social media, video games, or TV, or on and on, all these little Candy Crush. You know, don't pretend, okay, because I'm at the doctor's office. I walk by, I see grown men in their 60s playing Candy Crush on their phone. Yes, I see it. We all see it, okay? That's fine. I understand. Pass the time 5 or 10 minutes. I get it. But that's not really all it is, because when the stats are looked at, it's about 8 hours a day that Americans are spending occupying time and space and idleness in their life. And listen, the reason that I'm bringing this up is it is not leading to more joy and more happiness. Study after study has been shown, and this was one that I mentioned from the American Psychological Association. They found that the more time a child spent on social media, the higher the rate of poor mental health. So if it was 4.8 hours daily, which was the highest usage, 41% of those had poor or very poor mental health. Not to mention those that would fall into the average, you know, range. But on the lower end, the less they use social media, there was only 23% that had poor mental health. So, and that's just one factor, right? There's many factors, but that's just one factor. But this is because none of these things that we have such instant access to can bring true joy in our lives. The truth is that true joy, and this is going to sound so cliche and it's going to be something that you've heard a million times, but the truth is that true joy can only be found in Jesus Christ. So if you're still looking and you're still searching, I want to let you know we have found the secret. True joy can only be found in Jesus Christ. Psalm 16:11 says, "You make known to me the path of life, and in your presence there is fullness of joy." Everybody say fullness. That means it's at the max. It's full. It's complete. In your presence is found complete and fullness of joy. You won't find it anywhere else. Now, I know there are many of you that are going to try. Some of you are trying right now. You hear this and you think, oh, yeah, this is just sermon. You're the pastor. That's what you're supposed to say. What I'm telling you is the truth. What I'm telling you is a fact. Because God created the human being. And he also designed what it is that fuels them and what it is that actually causes them to be healthy and complete and whole. And if you are seeking and pursuing joy in anything else other than Christ, it will leave you empty. It will leave you dissatisfied. It will leave you broken. It will leave you on an endless cycle like that little rat of having to go back and try to find more and more and more and more. But listen, if you find yourself addicted to the presence of God, you will have a constant wellspring of joy that never runs dry. This is what Jesus tried to explain in the Gospels. He said, if you asked of me, I would have given you living water from a well that never runs dry. Okay, this isn't something that a pastor or a preacher gets up here like a motivational speech. This is a fact of the human existence and the life that we have here on earth. Human beings are designed to only be complete and healthy and whole when they are connected to their Creator. And if you are not connected to your Creator, and if you are not going to Him every day for your daily bread, you are living a life that is just mediocre. And you're going to turn to something else to try and find that joy. You're going to try to turn to something else. And boy, is it miserable to be married to somebody or to be in relationship with somebody that doesn't have Jesus Christ as the source of their joy? You know why? Because they're always looking around and trying to figure out what it is that's causing them to be unhappy. And one day it's you, and another day it's their boss, and another day it's because they don't have enough money, and then it's always pointing around, always looking, what is it that's making me unhappy? What is it why I'm so unhappy? Well, it's because you're not connected to the vine. It doesn't matter what changed in your life. It doesn't matter if you had a windfall of millions of dollars. It doesn't matter if you got promoted to CEO of the company. It doesn't matter. It'd be short-lived, it would fade, it would dissipate, and you would find yourself right back at the same situation you are before with no joy. Because those things cannot bring you joy. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to see this, because it's easy to find people in our world that have every single thing the world has to offer, right? It's easy. You can look around. With the internet today, you can find movie stars, athletes, CEOs of large companies that have every little thing their beady eyes could ever want, and they're not happy. They're not happy. Over and over again, we find they are not happy and they don't have joy. So you can go down that path if you want, but it's just complete foolishness to go down that path, because at the end of it, there will be nothing that will ever sustain you or ever satisfy you. The truth is right here in Psalm 16:11. David figured it out. He said, "You make known to me the path of life. And in your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." That is everything that this world is seeking right there. Joy and pleasure at every turn. And he said, but it's in the presence of God that I will find fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The angel told us this that announced the birth of Jesus, Luke chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "In the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them." Now keep in mind, this is a heavenly being that has come straight from the throne room of God. Okay? "An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And this is what the angel said to them: Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all people." This was the first announcement that was made about Jesus Christ. He said, "I bring you some very, very good news." This is where we get our word gospel, because the gospel means good news. And this angel brought them the good news, and he said, "I bring you good news that means great joy for all people." In other words, for every human being on this earth, they can find great joy from the announcement that I'm about to make, from the news that I'm about to bring you. And what was that news? That a Savior has been born this very night in the town of Bethlehem. And from that little bit of news, he said, great joy can be brought to all mankind because of that joy. What is joy? Joy is an intense, positive feeling of pleasure or happiness, typically triggered by a meaningful experience or achievement. And as we all know, it's a range. You can have a little bit of joy. You can have maximum joy. Right? One of the things that you can do to increase this like ecstatic, euphoric level of joy like you've never experienced before is like the first time that you would ever go bungee jumping or skydiving, right? Because you're so much adrenaline is pumped into your body, you trick yourself into thinking like you're about to go splat on the ground. And so every cell in your body is activated as you... I've never done it, by the way. I've done some similar things, but not ever done that. But I have done some things like that that have caused every sense in your body, every receptor in your body to wake up and be like on 100 red line because of what you're doing. But of course, what you find from all those experiences is the first time you do it is the only time you ever get that. Now, it doesn't mean that it's not there, but it's in a decreasing proportion. And there are people that they skydive every day now, and it's like reading the newspaper or just, you know, going to have a cup of coffee. They do it every day. They work for a company that does it. They take people skydiving every day. It doesn't produce the same result in them, right? Because all of that is what the world can offer. There's nothing in this world that can ever produce that in you on an ongoing and consistent basis. There's only one thing that will ever be a fountain of joy, an everlasting fountain of joy and fountain of life in you, and that is a relationship with Almighty God. What's beautiful about this relationship that we have with God is it's always there no matter where you're at or what you're going through. See, the circumstances in your life could change completely. You could have everything fall apart. You have a source of joy on the inside of you that can supersede all of that. Isn't that amazing? Go read. There's a book. There's so many books out there. I could point you to so many. But there's one book called Tortured for Christ. It's about Richard Wurmbrand. He was the founder of Martyrs for Christ. And he spent I don't know how many years in a prison camp for his faith, for being a pastor and a preacher of God's word that stood up for Jesus Christ. And he was tortured. He was in prison. And he talks about this in his book about how he maintained joy even in that situation. Now, if you want to think that somebody has the secret to joy, how could you possibly be in a situation like that and say, I had joy and I had constant fellowship with God even in that situation? So the Word of God gives us the truth about this source. And even as Christians, you can fall into the trap of looking elsewhere for that source of joy. As a matter of fact, I hope as you're listening to this sermon that you're thinking of a few. And you wouldn't be the only one. I'd be me. It'd be every person alive. It's very easy to fall into that trap of seeking joy in other places. And there is a place for those things. But they cannot produce the joy that we're talking about that comes from Jesus Christ. So what did the angel say was going to bring this joy? Well, he told the shepherds that it was connected to some news. Now, that doesn't sound exciting at all. As a matter of fact, if I think about the news today, it does the opposite of bring joy into my life. When I read the news or hear the news, it usually depresses me, so I sometimes just try to stay away from it. But in this case, the angels told the shepherd, he said, there's some news. I know it sounds very underwhelming, okay? But he said, there's some news that you're going to hear. And when you hear it, it has the ability to produce this joy in your life. And what we find from that and other places in Scripture is that true joy for a Christian is based on revelation. True joy is based on what you know. It's not based on an external event that can happen in your life or an external trigger that you need to produce that joy. True joy that Jesus is talking about is based on revelation, knowledge. It is based on something that you know. For example, if today you're completely broke, but then you walk out of this door and you get a phone call that there's been an inheritance that was given to you, and that a year ago somebody in your family died and they left you all this money. The truth that you were wealthy was already there. You just didn't know about it. You were unhappy and living a certain way because you were broke. Then you walk out and you get some revelation, and all of a sudden you find out, I'm wealthy and I'm happy. Why? Just because you didn't even actually receive the money yet. You just received the revelation about something that had happened. This is what we're talking about. The gospel is revelation. The Bible is revelation about the most important things that a human being could ever concern themselves with. Things like, is there a God? How many think that matters? I talked to a guy not too long ago that had an experience with God. This guy's not a Christian. And I talked to him. He was telling me about this experience that he had, that he had an experience with God, and he's not a Christian. And so I said, hey, let's meet. Let's have coffee. Let's sit down. Let's talk. And so we were talking about it, and I began to ask him some questions. This guy's probably late 30s, early 40s. And I asked this guy, I said, have you ever thought about what's going to happen to you when you die? And he said, no, not really. I said, how is that possible? You've never thought about whether there's a heaven, whether there's a hell, whether there's an afterlife? He said, no, not really. I said, well, what do you think about? He said, I just go through my life, just go through my day, kind of doing whatever I want to do. I said, you are a very smart and successful person, but that is really dumb. That makes no sense. Because especially as you get into your 40s, you're not even thinking about what's going to happen when you die. That's not something, because if it was me, I'd be laying in bed at night, up at night, thinking about, oh, Lord, what's going to happen when I die? Because this life is so short. This life is like that. You don't have to be a Christian to know that. You don't have to be, especially you start getting into your 40s and you're like at that halfway mark, you know, you start feeling, some of you are way past that, you know that. But I'm 42 this year, and you start thinking like my kids are 16 and 15, but man, we're almost done raising kids. And then, you know, you start looking, you're like, man, you don't have too much longer left here. Then what? But praise God when you get a revelation from Jesus Christ, when you get a revelation from the scripture that there is a God. He lives in eternity. And he provided a way for you to have eternal life, that there's more than just this life here on the earth. How many know that's a revelation that can bring some joy in your life? I imagine there's a few of you in here this morning that are like getting closer, let's just say, to the deadline. You know what? I don't know. But if you have that revelation, you can walk around joy. You could be 5 years away from the average life expectancy of an American, and you can walk around with joy because you know, man, everything's only about to get better for me. I don't have to walk around sad that I'm leaving this planet. I don't have to walk around sad that I'm getting old. I don't have to walk around sad or scared or afraid that death might be right around the corner for me. Why? Because when I die, life truly begins. See, true joy for a Christian is based on revelation. It's based on what you know. For a Christian, as we read the Bible and study the Bible and pull out these truths in this revelation, we find out, first of all, that there is a God. That one thing we could stop right there and just meditate on the fact that there is a God. There's a lot of people that don't believe that. A lot of people walking around every day that do not believe there is a God. That's a miserable life in existence right there. And I think they just do what this other guy did. They just ignore it because it's too depressing to think about it. It's too depressing to think about what it means if there's not a creator and there's not more beyond just this life. But the Bible gives us the revelation that no, in fact, there is a God. But it doesn't stop there, because just because there's a God, that doesn't necessarily mean good news. He could be a very vengeful, angry, judgmental God. But no, the Bible explains to us that it's not just there's a God, he's a loving, merciful, forgiving God. We also find out that not only is there a God, but there is an eternity for every human being ever born on this planet. There is an afterlife. Whether you're saved or not saved, there is an eternity. We also find out there is a heaven, there is a hell, and the scripture also tells us how we can avoid hell and end up with God in eternity in heaven. We find out from scripture that there's a God who loves you enough to make sure that you spend eternity with him. That revelation alone is enough to produce eternal joy in your life when you realize there is a God. And he cares so much about you, not just humanity, but about you as an individual. He cares about you enough to send his son Jesus to die in your place so that you could spend eternity with him. The fact that God cares that much about you ought to cause joy to come up in your heart. So God loves you enough to make sure that you spend eternity with him. Not only that, he adopted you. These are all revelations from Scripture. Not only that, he adopted you into his family as one of his own children. There's a God that did that for you. And he intends to give you the same inheritance that he had reserved for Jesus Christ. He made you a co-heir with Jesus Christ. So once a person understands these truths and this revelation, they have no excuse for never not having joy in their life. Now, I understand we have days that are up and down, but really what we should be doing is letting this joy that we're talking about override those days. In other words, when we have stuff that's going on in our life and things that are depressing, and it's always a perspective issue. You've gotten your eyes on something else that probably doesn't matter. It's probably temporary. And you've lost focus of the eternal truths that we're talking about this morning. Because I'm going to tell you, you can't sit very long and go through this list. Wait a minute, there is a God. Wait a minute, there is an eternity. There is a heaven. And I'm on my way there because of what Jesus did. And in a few short years, whatever I'm worried about now, not even going to be a thing. And then I'm going to be with him for eternity. You can't think about that for very long and sit around in depression. This is the reason why depression and Christianity, they don't mix very well. Because depression, most of what depression is a constant focusing and dwelling on one set of data instead of focusing and dwelling on another set of truths that you should be. Because when you focus on this, joy will begin to rise in your heart and in its place. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." You see, he's trying to explain what we're talking about this morning. He said, getting saved is like a person who's out. Maybe they're like one of those treasure hunters, you know, and they got the little metal detector and they're looking around. And he's just out in this field, humdrum. But then he discovers a treasure in that field that is more valuable and worth more than every other possession that he has. And so he hides it. He covers it up. He runs and he sells all that he has. Sells his house, sells his car, cashes in his stock options, you know, sells everything. He goes and buys that field because the thing that was in that field was more valuable than every other possession that he had in his life. In other words, he goes all in on this one thing because it was of such greater value than everything else he had in his life. And Jesus said, this is what it looks like to be saved. This is what it looks like for a person to come to Christ. They've been living life. They've been pursuing other things. They thought life was about money and fun and happiness and friends and career. They thought life was about these things. And then they found the revelation of who Jesus was and they cashed everything in. They said, look, I still got those things, but I surrender it all to Jesus Christ. And if I got to leave that, lose that, if I got to lose friends, if I got to lose money, if I got to lose everything, I'm laying it all down because this one thing that I found is so much more valuable than everything else I ever had in my life. That's what true salvation looks like for a person. True salvation is not, if you're still holding on to this life, listen, Jesus said this. He said, if you're still holding on to this life, he said, you're not worthy of me. You're not worthy of me. He said, because what it really looks like to come to Christ is that they lay everything down. That person lays everything down and they come to the feet of Christ and they say, listen, if the only thing I ever have in this life is you, then it's enough. That's the only thing that I need. Now you go, well, that seems a little extreme. Well, what Jesus just described here is extreme. Right, you cash it, but it's extreme because what you have found is of so much value. It's of so much value, and so a person will cash it all in order to experience that joy and that value of Christ. In Philippians 3:7, Paul said it this way. He said he was talking about his former life and all the things that he had before Christ. Because Paul, it was in a Jewish way, and so it might not be a way that we relate to, but he had a life where he was pursuing success and prestige and influence. And he was of the tribe of Benjamin, which was, you know, prestigious. And then he'd been raised in certain schools of Gamaliel. And then he was now a Pharisee. And so he was elite. He was moving up. He was popular. He was well respected. And this is what he wanted out of life. But in Philippians 3:7, he says, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. He said, I traded all of that in. I lost the respect of my entire nation and culture and group and all of my family influences that I had. They all respected me. I was a teacher of the law. I was a Pharisee. He said, I lost all of that when I came to Christ. He said, but indeed I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. He said, all of that is nothing. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish or trash in order that I may gain Christ. This is the life, this is the words of a Christian that has the revelation that I'm talking about this morning. These are the words of a man that has truly seen and his eyes have truly been opened and he has seen and experienced the true revelation of who Jesus Christ is. That he can look at everything else in his life and go, that's complete trash, and if I lose it, it makes me no difference because I've got Jesus. And that's everything. My future is tied to that. My joy is tied to that. My eternity is tied to that. And he said, I count it all lost. Now, my guess is that we have people in here this morning that are sort of everywhere in between. We've got people that are saying, nah, I hadn't experienced that. And then we got people on that end that they maybe they're like Paul and they're going, man, I would trade it all. And then we got people in the middle that go, man, I love God and everything, but I like a lot of this other stuff too. And I mean, can't we have both? Like, isn't there a way to sort of marry the two, you know, and have that life too? Well, the reality is my life is very good. I have a good family. I have a good marriage. I've got a lot of great things going in my life, but they all live in this basket that would be, it's just at any moment, it's ready to be given up for God. And as God says that I can have and enjoy these things, I do. But at any moment, and I've had to give up those things at different seasons and different times of my life. So it's like those things live on the altar, so to speak. And at any given time, they may have to be cashed in so that you can obey God and follow God. And that's the way the scripture lays it out. But what I'm telling you this morning, if you say, well, I don't know if I feel like that, well, I doubt then that you've had this revelation of who Jesus is the way that I'm talking about. It doesn't mean that you haven't experienced him to a degree. It may not even mean that you're not saved. But you just have not had this revelation of who Jesus Christ is. And I think for a lot of us that are saved and following Christ, we might would even say that it can be a progressive understanding and a progressive revelation, that the more time you spend with God, the more time you spend in his word, the more value you see in it. And so you begin to move towards this perspective in this life as well. So that was Paul. Peter said it this way, 1 Peter 1:8. He said, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, which is the salvation of your souls. Peter said, this joy that we have from being saved, he said, it's inexpressible. He said, I can't even describe it. I can't put it into words. I can't explain the joy that I have in following Christ. And if that's not you, that can be your experience. It's a free gift that is available to every person. God wants every person on this earth to experience that and walk in that relationship with him. There's not one person that's excluded. You know, the only thing that's excluding you is you. That's it. You're it. You're the obstacle. It's available for every person that surrenders their life and says, I am tired of doing this my way. I am tired of doing this in my own strength. I have tried this and tried to. It's left me empty. It's left me lacking. It's left me broken. I am ready to taste of the living water that Jesus Christ has and makes available for me. If that is you, you can receive that this morning. There's not a person in this room that is excluded from the family and the grace of God, at least not by God. God's not excluding you. He's made it so easy, right? He's made it so easy. He doesn't require you to jump through some big hoops. He doesn't require you to you know, have some great deeds. Your past doesn't have to be perfect, none of that. All of that, he says, I'll forgive your past. You go, yeah, but I've done this. He says, I'll forgive it. I'll wipe it away. He says, yeah, but I've hurt so many people. I've done so many things. It doesn't matter. I'll give you a fresh start. He said, well, I don't know anything about the Bible. I don't know anything. He says, it doesn't matter. All you have to do is believe. You don't have to have some great knowledge. All you have to do is believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. All you have to do is believe that he died for you. All you have to do is believe that he was resurrected by the power of God, and that through his life and death, that he purchased salvation for you. He says, if you believe that, you can enter in to this relationship with him. Amen.